Bet you could kill a half a dozen flies in one swap with that if you could get them. I guarantee you right now, son, that's a good deal. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 23. If you find the place, you're able to stand, Matthew chapter number 23. Verse number 23, if you will, please, when we begin to look there. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not leave the other undone. I was reading one writer, and he said, you know, this is tithing is not for the New Testament. He just got through saying they should have done what they did, but they omitted some things that they should not have omitted. And so where he got that, I don't know, and neither do I care, because I know what it says in that lesson. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within they're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. We ask you now that you'd help us and move upon us and within us, and we'll thank you for saving souls and lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free, granting revival, and all of that business that needs to be done that'll please thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on Phariseeism. It'll finally get on you. Now, I don't think we have anybody like that. If you're thinking here, you know, does he think I'm a Pharisee? I don't think one way or the other about it. Here's what I do know is we have potential Phariseeism that runs a little rampant every now and again, even among some of these boys and girls. They want to tell you what they're doing, what they won't do, and so forth and all. But then when you examine them closely, they're doing things just exactly as bad as what they're condemning.
Yes,
sir. I remember whenever I didn't have a TV for over 9 years, didn't watch it at mama's daddy's house, grandma, grandpa's, didn't go to the motel when I went out of town, didn't watch it whatsoever. I mean, listen, we didn't do this and didn't do that. In fact, we didn't do hardly much of anything, and we were the most miserable creatures on the face of the earth. It just might be that that's why you're so miserable. Because you can't live for God and decide what's right and wrong in the sight of God and be happy around you that nobody else may or may not do that. See? You may get to where in your place is that you're thinking, well, you know, I got my family straightened out, my life straightened out, and my children straightened out. Do you? Do you really? That's according to simply being able to overlook any and everything else. And by the way, I want to tell you, all these boys and girls, when they get together, they need somebody they can talk to. And buddy talk, they will.
Yes, sir.
I always tell it, too, whenever something's eating on one, bothering them. Now, don't get all huffy and this and that. And if you'll not get so mad you can't get it in your heart, what I'm telling you tonight's going to end up helping you. And if it don't help you, God help you, because there's nothing else going to be able but the word of the Lord do anything real in your heart and your life. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said over in the book of 1 John chapter 2, do not turn there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, that he that loves the world is the love of the Father is not in him. Then he talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of lying. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Isn't that right? And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, that here's what we end up doing, is that Phariseeism is this crowd here, they claimed one thing and they lived another. They worked on the outside and made it more presentable, but inside they were full of extortion, excess, dead men's bone. In other words, God was saying to them, you're a hypocrite, You work on the outside to look better to men, but on the inside you're full of the devil, is what he was saying, in dead men's bones. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, saying you're saved won't make you saved. Saying you're spiritual and going to act that way won't make you spiritual. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that here's the way that it happens. I notice every now and again, and I catch a remark or two, you know. I catch a remark or two giving these boys here a bad way to go that plays a little baseball. Ain't nothing wrong with baseball no more than it is football. I see some of the people that are condemning a little bit of baseball that go ahead and allow going to football. That's all right. I don't need a lot of amens when I know I'm right.
No, you're
right. And I got to say to you that if you will, that if you're going to condemn that, I've seen people condemn that. I've watched some of these young men in days gone by condemn another young man for this or that he was doing, and then turn around and go to the skating rink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a dancing to music in a world's atmosphere. Am I against that? No, I'm just trying to tell you it's hypocrisy for you to gag at a gnat and swallow a camel. See? I mean, whether you ought to be there or not, somebody said, well, you know, I ain't doing none of that right there, so you ain't bother me. God bless you, you miserable creature. Somebody said, I don't do any of that. Well, go on back to the fair then and have a good time down there. That's a band of good Christians. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, it's not fair. It's not even fair for me to bring that up, is it? I didn't go to the fair. I don't know who went and who didn't go. I mean, some of you threw up, I know that, and all that been there. And I'm not beating you up, and I'm not saying, oh, this or that. That's something you're going to have to decide. And I don't mean this ugly, and God bless every one of you women. I believe you're godly women. I believe you're right. I don't think this is going to apply to anybody. I've seen preachers get up and preach mean as a junkyard dog about women wearing breeches and when his wife weighed 500 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
He ought to find something else, like gluttony and stuff like that.
That's right.
See?
That's right.
God bless you. Thank you.
It's
hypocrisy, dear friend.
Yes, sir, it is,
to gag at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Yes.
In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that in this lesson here that we've gotten here this evening, is that if it's not enough, you know, the picture show I was telling you about, brother of mine, of course his brother Jack, he wouldn't care, thrift, he's in heaven tonight. But whenever I didn't have a TV, of course he had one, and I gave him the rough way to go with it. Now I watch it, you know, a preacher get up and preach at a conference and all that, if they better not call on me next, I'll tell them quick, I'm going to watch TV around the clock when I get to heaven. I'm already watching it 12 hours a day. Son, they think that's the most blasphemous thing they've ever heard of in their life. They can't hardly wait for me to shut up so they can go to the motel and turn the TV on. They had the audacity to say that and come up and ask me what the news had to say tonight. Said, for you to go straight to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200. In this lesson that you're looking at, and by the way, but anyhow, this brother of mine, he said, I talked about going to the picture show one time, in which back then I didn't even go. I mean, we went for 25, 30 years, didn't go one time. And out of the last, I don't know, 73 years since we've been married, 55, we might have gone maybe three times. We maybe have gone three times. If it was four, I don't know. But here's what I do know is, and I told them the other night, one of them's the Titanic. I didn't know they had such a spiffy art lesson in it. It's where I learned to paint. Yeah, I got to tell you right up front, I'm just kidding about all this and that. But anyhow, my brother and preacher friend, and here's what he said. I said, tell me what's the difference, what's wrong with going to... He said, it's the crowd you're sitting with. I said, it's the same crowd you sit with at the ball game when you win.
The restaurant.
The restaurant. Skating rink.
Yes, sir.
Bowling alley. That's a good place to be able to go. You can rent athlete's foot right there on the scene. And I'm not caring. I'm not beating you up about it. I'll help you buy some foot powder if you need to. But I'm just trying to say, wouldn't it be a lot better to enjoy life if a brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. But don't try to make everybody fit into your little mole heel, you know, and what I'm talking about, and go to thinking you're superior and holier than thou, whenever it might be that you're just selective about what it is you're unholy about. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said over in the book of Galatians, and in fact is, you can look there if you like, because churches do this, and we don't want to be one of them, and yet you'll find that it does. And by the way, I want to tell you right now, I'm happy as a lark. I'm happy with you. I know you may not be happy with me, and I really don't care one way or the other, but I want to be right with the Lord as I can. And I'll try to be as happy with you, and I'll try to make you as happy as I possibly can. But I said all that to be able to say this, is that in the book of Galatians chapter number 5, verse 14 and 15, he said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be, that you be not consumed one of another." I guarantee you right now is that you're going to find out is that we better be careful is that whenever you and I are going to speak, that it's going to be according to the oracles of God. There's going to be a whole lot of things you're not going to be able to do in this life, and there's going to be some things that you may be allowed to do. I know some preachers tonight put you in hell over a Christmas tree. Some of them have already died and went on, found out they're wrong, it's too late. Ain't no wonder nobody ever got them nothing for Christmas. Now, I can tell you right up front, there's some things you ought to have and not have down at church house. There's some things you ought not to have probably at your house. But that's not for you to decide what everybody else is going to be doing in their life. What it is that if that's a real conviction that you've got, if that's really burned down in your heart, then, hey, you don't want to go anywhere or do anything. Don't. See? But if you're trying to do that because of Dr. Bottle Stopper or somebody else, I got to tell you, you're going to end up being disappointed down the road, way down the road. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that over in the book of Galatians in chapter number 6, it's about verse 5. He said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand in synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be noticed, seen of men." That's the key phrase. "And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If all your doings to be seen of men somewhere else, so they can pat you on the back." I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run around with those that do. That's the order of the day, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And I thought to myself, yeah, you don't use breath mints either. Take one, because your breath about knock a buzzard off of a manure wagon. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that in the book of James. James in chapter number 2. I warned you that this was finally going to be coming around and all that business there. But in the book of James in chapter 2 and about verse number 4, now here's what happens if you're not careful. You get saved by the grace of God, living for God, loving God, wanting to learn about the word of the Lord. And then if you're not careful, you'll get to where you want to become a judge. Instead of just simply following Jesus, you're going to want to become a judge. You know, in verse number 4, here's what he says. He says, "Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" In other words, we can't be able to serve the Lord and magnify the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and follow the Lord because we're worried about passing judgment on somebody that's not lined up exactly the way that we ought to be. Now, there's a whole church covenant that's back there hanging on the wall. I've lost a person or two in days gone by over that. One of them's over the issue of the liquor business. If you're drinking liquor, hey, there ain't no two ways in ten what God says about that. Now, you're either going to have to get rid of that or we're going to have to get rid of you. See that? Is that a bad attitude and grumpy and mean and backbiting and running down? And I got to tell you right now is I may say something every now and again about the church, but I'm not some peckerwood on the outside shooting at the church. I'm on the inside, buddy, trying to do the best I can to help the work of God and to be able to progress along in the town where that I'm living. In this lesson that's here, and you hear me say this over and over again, I believe with all of my heart and soul this is the best church in the country. If I did not believe that, whatever church I did believe was that, that's exactly where I'd be with my family. I'd make no mistake about it. I would not let my shirt tail hit me in the back again until I got settled in the place God intended for me to be. And whenever God intends for you to be in a place, I'll tell you what you'll do, is that you will get to the place you'll promote it, you'll tithe to it, you'll invite folks to it, and so forth and on and on and on for the cause of Christ. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, and all of a sudden, you may be thinking, well, you know, I just think differently. Okay, well, knock yourself out. But the Bible said over in the book of Romans 14:14 that if a person esteem anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that if you get too upset, maybe we can go to the bowling alley if that good.
Yes, sir.
Get a few strikes thrown, you know. You know the reason why, you know what's wrong with the bowling alley? You find yourself cussing under your breath. Because your competitor just got ahead of you and you wanted to show her what a fantastic bowler you are. It just absolutely gags you to no end, don't it? In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that if you will, there are some things that we ought to avoid. There are some people that we ought to be able to avoid. Look over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 14. I'm going to give you a person. I don't give you all of them. I'll just give you one of them tonight. But let me tell you how you can narrow it down. Here's what it is. This Bible said, when you look in chapter 14, verse number 7, watch this passage here. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That's something, isn't it? Somebody goes to telling you something off the wall. You go to have an admiration for him. You're liable to tend to believe some of that Tommy junk, Tommy rot they're putting out. But the Bible said, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, you'd better know something about the word of the Lord. I want to say to you, if there's some things you don't want to do, don't do them. If there's some places you don't want to go, don't go there. If there's some ways you don't, listen, I don't care if you want to have, I don't know, if you want to get some them old flour sacks. You know, used to years ago when I was a kid growing up, everything wasn't disposable, and they had flour sacks, and it was made, and women would make dresses, they'd make blouses, because they were decorative and this and that, and poor people done what they could to be able to sew it together and so forth and on. I don't care if you do all of that. I believe if you're a woman, you ought to look decent. I believe that if you're a woman, you ought not to be provocative. You ought not to be lustful. I believe if you're a man, you ought not to be running around with your eyeballs hanging out on your nose trying to look at all the nudity, because not all women are going to be able to look right and dress right and do that and so forth and all. I just said all that to be able to say this. If there's some things you don't want to do, don't do it. But if you're just miserable because you're not doing it, and you know some people that do, and it's not something contrary to the blessed word of the Lord, you're just making yourself miserable. I don't want you doing, letting your wife do something that I won't let my wife. God help you. Yeah. These little girls, they grew up, every one of them, and I can tell you right now, is that they didn't look like the rest of the world and talk like the rest of the world and act like the rest of the world. And back then, you know, of course, everybody tried to line up and do good. Some of them gals, you know, that had sleeves, some of them you had to have a three-quarter from the elbow down, halfway the other. Some had to have it down past the elbow and all that business there. Now, I've never had one person show me in the Bible where it shows the length of that sleeve on a girl. I will tell you this, gal, so you'll know it, and I'm going to try to give it to you in the original Greek. There is no original. But if you're a little top, you know, the sleeves are cut out, and when you bend over, somebody can see your titty. They're going to look at it. That's the reason why that you ought to have and be conscientious of it. Ladies, if you are big-chested, God bless you and thank you for your service. But if you wear something to wear that when you lean down, bend over, and all of that right there, somebody's going to see. And they love to go to howling. I know you don't like that and all that business there. And your husband may not like it either. But I'm telling you what's right in the sight of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, by the way, you'll say, that in chapter number 12. And there's a passage over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. It's about verse 15, and you ought to look at it. He said, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto wise counsel is wise. The fool's right no matter what he says, what he argues, and this and that, and you're wasting your time trying to argue with him. You might as well go ahead and let them go on, believe what they want to believe, do whatever they want to believe, do, and be as miserable as they can. And down the road somewhere, see, down the road somewhere, maybe God will wake them up, and if he doesn't, it's going to be terrible. Now, last but not least, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 4, and let me tell you something, the violation of that will kill a church, and it'll not only that, it'll dampen your spirit. It'll make you sad. It'll make you wish that somehow or another you could have done something different. You know, just about the time we've learned enough to be able to check out in this world we're living in, just about that time that we've learned something, it'll be time to leave. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and I want you to watch this passage here. Let's begin with verse number 9, chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know why we love each other? We've been taught of God that. Since the day God saved us, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And now watch this. And that ye study to be quiet. When's the last time that you studied just to be quiet? I wanted to say something, but I need to study and just wait a while and be quiet about it. Look at, he said, and study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. I got to tell you, in the next few passages, he tells you, I don't want you to be ignorant about those that are asleep already in the Lord. And I won't talk about the coming of the Lord again and the resurrection of those that have been saved and gone on before us. I got to tell you right now, I can name some fellows tonight that made a real impact on my heart and on my life. I can name some others that I thought was making a good impact, and then I found out they were chasing 15-year-old Negro girls in their community. I've had some others that I really felt like were hoeing the row and doing the right thing and found out they was messed up with another woman or their wife messed up with another man. I'm going to tell you something. What you'd better do is that your hope had better be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And I want to tell you right now is God's given us grace and God's given us liberty. Only he said, do not use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. There's some things that you make and do that God just won't let me. Just won't let me do it. Do I think you're particularly wrong? It's not my business. If it's not a clear-cut passage on it, if it's not given a chapter, book, and verse, and a clear-cut thing, I'm going to have to leave that up between you and the Lord. I mean, here's the deal. Obviously, the Lord's not worried about and bothered about some things or some people as much as we are. I bet you he's not sitting up there wringing his hands. Oh, I wish I could make a better boy out of Dennis. Oh, I wish. You're getting the picture? I wonder tonight, you don't want to grow up with that kind of thing on you, and you don't want to get around people that have got that on them because that will get over on you sooner or later. I can promise you that right up front. I made it a policy to try to be able to serve the Lord, magnify the Lord, and to not live under no man's thumb. See? And let me tell you right now, you'd do well if you'd follow that as well. Now, mind you, that as a pastor, I've got a little more responsibility than you've got. I've got to give an account for you that sit in this congregation. So before you go to thinking, hey, we're all on equal ground, you're going to have to take that up with the master. See? When God said, obey them that have the rule over you. Because they watch for your soul. And let me tell you right now, it's our job to be able to see what's wrong, say something about it. Sometimes it's already started and that'll help correct it. Sometimes ain't nothing will correct it. But God knows how to remove it. God knows how to get rid of it. He does. He just really does. I didn't start doing this yesterday, as you real know. And I can promise you right now, He's been faithful every step of the way. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for loving us. Lord, I praise You and thank You. We praise You and thank You, Lord, for the songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together, the special music. Lord, these boys and girls, these men and women that have been able to serve together with all these years. We're looking for many more years to come with great anticipation. We look for Thy coming and say with the apostles and prophets and men and women of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless the word to every heart now in Jesus' name.